Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. Job 28, and we're down to verse 11 here. Talks about in verses 9 and 10 about carving the rivers and just tossing the mountains and garnishing the heavens with the stars and so forth. Verse 11, he says, "He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light, keeping the floodwaters at bay, and he brings all to light." And I mentioned before that several times throughout here, it seems like the flood is kind of in the forefronts of their minds. They're not that far removed from it. And I heard something this week listening to a message, and I went back and checked on my chronology, and I verified it. Noah would have lived to within about 2 years of when Abraham was born. Abraham and Job are contemporaries. Seth, Job and Abraham both could have known personally. So that maybe puts some perspective into, even though, you know, we're several hundred years from the flood, you're still got people alive that endured that thing. Which brings it even more into the forefronts of their minds, the knowledge of that and that just that whole experience and so forth, and could suggest why Job continually mentions this, and the other guys here have as well as they go through there. But God keeps it all in control. He bindeth those waters. And he says, "I'm not going to do that again." And just to prove it, there is the rainbow. God says, "That's proof I bound it. And it's not going to happen again." Verse 12, "Where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" And I remind you again, this is Job's final response, last six chapters. The other three are done now, and so Job is making these statements here. He says, "Where is wisdom going to be found? God. Man knoweth not the price thereof." Isn't that the truth? Talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Kids just don't understand the value of some of the things they're trying to tell them. Man oftentimes doesn't understand the value of the things that God is trying to tell us. "Man knoweth not the price thereof. Neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof." You know, there's a lot of things money can buy. That's one that it can't. Wisdom. It's available freely. Highly prized, highly valued, but freely received. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. The exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it. Neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air. Keep your finger here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He extols the virtues and the value of wisdom and how priceless it is and so forth. And then you come to this here, and I'm sure you're all familiar with this, but let's read it anyway. He starts in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. There are people out there that are so intelligent. As I forget who the guy was, some comedian said, I perceive that you are educated beyond your intelligence. They're so intelligent, they're stupid. Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Then he goes on here, let's drop down to verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The wisdom that God has available to us, that he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. God says, here it is. Think about that. Salvation's the same way. Here it is. Just take it. It's yours. Same thing with wisdom. Just take it. Take it. For you see your calling, brethren, verse 26. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But the first is wisdom, this valuable treasure that God says, just come take some. I will give to you liberally and upbraid not. It's ours for the taking. This, and where does it come? It's hid from the eyes of all living, back in Job chapter 28, verse 21. And kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof. And he knoweth the place thereof. God's got it. He's the source. It's acquired from him. Jump down to verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That's the first time that is ever recorded in Scripture. It's recorded several more times, but that's the first time it's recorded in the Scriptures. Questions or comments thus far? Ron? Uh-huh.
to him at that time. Mm-hmm. Ethiopia, you know, I didn't research that in the concept of when the order to reign Ethiopia was given to that country. Mm-hmm. But it's just amazing to me that he has all this first-hand knowledge of these things.
Amen. Anyone else? Verse 24, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make wait for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. The wind has weight. Do you realize that? Job knew that. There is a weight to the wind, to the air. It took a long time for man to catch up with the Bible and the wisdom and knowledge that's revealed there. And the first scripture ever written, before Genesis was written, even though the events of Genesis precede the writing of it, this is the first scripture reduced to writing. It's recorded here that the earth has weight. And the waters he weighs by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. A path for the lightning. We think of lightning coming from the sky down. It actually goes the other way. It starts with a path. I believe it's made by the electrons, and then the proton going one way, and then the protons follow it the other way. And I forgot to mark down which was which. But, you know, what we see is actually going from the ground up. The path. Again, Job knew that thing. And he talks about the decree of the waters and the flow of that thing. Think about this. The water flows to larger bodies through those paths that it was mentioned earlier that God had carved. Actually, verses 9 and 10 we started with there. Salt water is 800 times heavier than the atmosphere. All the water ends up in the ocean eventually, right? That water in the ocean is 800 times heavier than the atmosphere. God has designed a system whereby that weight is lost through evaporation to the point that the vapor becomes 1/8 the weight of the atmosphere. It heats up, separates from the salt and all the minerals there, loses all that weight, rises up into the atmosphere, into the clouds, gets up over the land, cools, and then falls down as rain. He maketh wait for the winds. He weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it, he prepared it, yea, he searched it out. God did that. Just that simple little thing that we take for granted, taking place out there right now. And God in his infinite wisdom designed it all. That it's not, you know, you get out stuck out in the ocean and you're not drinking that stuff. And if you do, you regret having done so. But God is able to take that and distill it and give it back to us in a pure form to provide everything that we need with that. To water the fields and our gardens and provide the drinking water, replenish the aquifers, all according to what God has decreed, what God has declared, what he prepared, and what he searched out. What an amazing God. And his wisdom is so far above ours. But he says, take some. I'll give it to you liberally. And upbraid you not. Questions or comments? Chapter 29. Wait a minute. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. I think this has to do with the evaporation and so forth. But Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 6. Now let's start in verse 4. Ecclesiastes 1:4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also riseth, the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. Now some would look at that and say, well, see, they're using that old antiquated understanding of the solar system. The sun doesn't revolve around, or the earth... Yeah, the sun doesn't revolve around the earth. It's the earth around the sun. The sun doesn't rise, but it does from man's perspective. So this, even though it's scientifically inaccurate, the whole book of Ecclesiastes is written from man's perspective. So that's what he's saying. As we look at it, we think of the sunrise and the sunset. And even the scientific community says sunrise is at 7:03 a.m. and sunset is at 7:08 p.m. or however it changes or whatever. But so they would ridicule this, but then they do the same thing themselves and expect you to ignore that, the hypocrisy of it. Verse 6, the wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place for whence the rivers come, thither they return again. There's that condensation evaporation cycle being spoken of there. But it also talks about the wind currents, the circuits. There was a guy... a weatherman that used to broadcast out of KOA in Denver. We used to listen to him over all the time. Weatherman Bowman. And he was a kind of an interesting character. He was probably in his 80s, still doing the weather forecast. You see, well, the weather is down in the weeds this morning. And just the way he talked, he had all those kind of neat old sayings and so forth, and it's kind of humorous, but boy, when you get a jet stream moving across in the upper atmosphere, man, he'd get all excited to talk about that and say what's going on and how it's going to affect our weather and all this stuff. And we're talking about way up there. It's that circuit. The weather moves from west to east. There are patterns to the weather and the winds and how they move. And that's what he's talking about here in Ecclesiastes. All right, let's go to chapter 29 now. Job 29. Verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. You know, as he's going through this thing, I can almost kind of envision Job just kind of his voice raising, and just the strength in his voice and so forth. I mean, you know, he's in rough shape physically. But as he's this final push, as he's going to put these guys to silence once and for all, and just the tirade rising and gathering in strength and volume as he's speaking here. And he begins here by lamenting all he'd lost, and maybe more fully appreciating all that he had. Isn't that the way it is? You don't always appreciate what we got until it's gone. And he looks back, man, if I could just go back. As in months passed. Well, there's a tip as to how long this thing's lasted. Months. How many? I don't know. But we're not talking about days. We're not just talking about weeks. We're talking about at least 8, 12 weeks. I mean, you figure it out yourself. But it months has got to be more than 1 month. As in months past, when God preserved me. Verse 3, when his candle shined upon my head, and when his light, by his light, I walked through darkness. When his candle shined. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, light my candle, Lord. The light of God's countenance upon him. You think of, no, that's not it. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a light lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light shines in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, as into a light that shineth in a dark place, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That concept again, Job initiated that, the connection of God's light, and then we get it connected with the Word of God as well. Verse 4, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me. Thinking about in his youth, thinking about when his kids were still alive. Job walked with God throughout his life. Suggested here, even as a young man, in his youth, he walked with God, having a special relationship with God. Let's look at a few verses. Go back to Job 15, verse 8. Hast thou heard the secret of God? And dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? Verse 11. Are the consolations of God small with thee? Is there any secret thing with thee? Secret things. He says in verse 4, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Job had a special relationship with God. God had said, have you considered my servant Job to Satan? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, 29. Familiar with this one, right? But let's read it. Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Job talked about some secret things that God had given to him. And I think we've seen some indication of the depth of the revelation that God had given to him. Look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. God shares his secrets. God desires to share his secrets. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth. I think we're back to that wisdom again. That God will give to those who love him. Look at Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. God says, I'm going to tell what I'm going to do. I'll blindside you. I'll make it known. But he says, study. To show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One more verse, John 15 and verse 15. John 15, 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. And you think about the Lord's working with the apostles and the disciples that traveled with them. I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. 3 days, I'll be back. But in the last times, there's perilous times that are going to come. God has revealed a lot. It's all there. When that which is perfect is come, than that which is in part, the sign gifts, the tongues, the healings, will be done away. Does God still heal today? Oh, absolutely. Could God move somebody to speak in tongues? Biblical tongues, yes, not the gibberish that the charismatics do. I believe God could do it. God can do what he wants. He's God. Who am I to question him? But he's given us the completed revelation. Now, I think there's still some understanding and wisdom that needs to come along to unlock the knowledge that's here. But I think it's all here. We just don't have the key for all of it yet. But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. Secret things. Job says, man, I had some secret things in my youth. I understood. And he's revealed those understandings that he had about how God works with the cycle of the water, the location, the geography, all these things, those secrets that God had given to him. He says, man, here I am in the dump, dust and ashes with these running sores, and I'm just scraping with a broken piece of pottery the pus off as it runs off my arms and the rest of my body. Oh, that I were in months past. When that secret of God was there, and maybe I didn't appreciate it as much as I should have. Questions or comments as far? Ron. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Anyone else? Awful quiet tonight. Verse 6. When I wash my steps with butter. Well, I don't know that I'm anxious to do that. Nothing wrong with it, I guess, but it doesn't really appeal to me, but did to him. And the rock poured me out rivers of oil. I think the idea here is prosperity. When I went out to the gate to the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, Job was a well-respected man. Appreciated. Even honored and revered by those around him. The young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. Oh, here comes Job. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. Now, I've had that happen to me sometimes too, but here it comes, shut up. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and a cause which I knew not, I searched it out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. He wore his righteousness proudly. And I don't think that's a condemnation. He was a righteous man. That's what God said, who feared God and eschewed evil, perfect in his generation. And I don't think he was puffed up with the pride over these things. But he honored God in what he had received from him and what he had been able to do. A help to the helpless, a friend to those who needed a friend, an advocate for justice, ferreting out the truth, and swift and severe in executing that justice. See what he said there in verse 17? Or verse 16, actually, first. I was a father of the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. And I'm not so sure about this. I got to find out, get some more information. I'm going to get the root of this problem, he said. And then verse 17, and I break the jaws of the wicked, oppressing the poor, making fun of and taking advantage of the poor, the blind, the lame, and so forth. And he says, and plucked the spoil out of his teeth and got it back to the ones who it had been taken from. This was Job. This was a man that God allowed Satan to get a hold of and thrash for these months that this thing took place. Verse 18. Then I said, I shall die in my nest. I shall multiply my days as the sand. He's looking back on his life now. He's saying, man, I never expected it to end up like this. I expected to have my kids all around me, to enjoy my old age and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and my great-great-great-grandchildren and on and on, how many ever generations he might have lived to see. That's what he expected. To see the fruit of his life lived in service and honor to God. And to enjoy that. He said, verse 19, my root was spread out by the waters. The dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again. There was nothing more to be said when Job spoke. And my speech dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain. They opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. In the light of my countenance, they cast not down. I chose out their way and sat chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. Well thought of, his counsel sought after, even desired. That's how he expected to end his life. Let's think about it from our perspective a little bit. I think that's how we Christians view the rapture. Oh, we don't have to worry about the tribulation. We don't have to worry about hard times because God's going to take us out. I hope he does. But it could get rough before he does. And you know, we can store our food and we can do all kinds of things to build shelters and everything that we might plan to protect ourselves. But if it comes, I don't think there's any way that we can fully protect ourselves. I mean, just think of the electricity. I forget who, if we're talking about this out in Ohio or somebody here was talking about that. You know, they're talking about the what is that thing that can ruin the power grid? Okay. And what are you going to do without electricity? So, well, I got a generator. Okay. How much gas you got? Because when that's gone, you can't go to the gas station. Because the power grid's out and there's no electric to one run the gas pump. Or the gas register. We are so, I don't care how independent you are, at some point that thing breaks down. And then it's just me and God. God says, don't worry. I got you. And worst comes to worst, you get to come home. Our perspective, I think, gets skewed sometimes. And we worry and we fear instead of believe, instead of trust. We plan and we scheme instead of rely upon Him. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. We were there this morning. But in this context, let's think about this once again. I know this is, or Matthew chapter 6, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 6, I know it's Israel, I know it's the tribulation that he's looking at here, but I think there's still application to us. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Do you remember the Y2K scare? I don't know what was going on around here, but I know there were people out in Kansas, they were stockpiling things. And I don't know of anybody out where we live, but I'd heard about people in other parts of the country who were buying railroad tankers of propane and burying it underground because we're going to survive. And all this food they're collecting and everything. How's that going for you? 16 years later, when the computers didn't die. And I talked about this before it happened. I believe there was a hoax then and exploited by the media and everything. But so many people just buy into that stuff because we're not willing to trust Him. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Let me ask you something. If we get in a time of famine here in this country, and you've got a basement full of food, and your neighbor comes knocking on your door and says, my kids need something to eat, what's the Christian thing to do? You go back or I'll pull the trigger. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either you hate the one and love the other, or else you hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what are we going to do if the water supply gets contaminated? Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is it not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Our trust needs to be in him. Questions or comments? We'll close tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I'm as guilty as any in trying to figure things out myself. Help us, God, to learn to trust you. Help us to see that it's you that provides for us, even though our coverage may be full and our bank accounts having reserves there. All of that can disappear in a moment of time or a short period of time. But God, whether that is there or whether it's not, our trust and hope needs to be in you. We may not suffer exactly as Job did, but there could be some difficult times ahead for us. Lord, in Daniel we read tonight that you set up kings, you take down kings. And even this election, we think about this and we've got some concerns and maybe even fears. Certainly questions and uncertainty about the direction our country will go from this election forward. But God, help us to again realize it's in your hands. And it's more about our hearts than it is about how we cast a ballot. Not that the other is not important, but God, may we strive to make our hearts right before you. To live in such a way that you could speak of us as you spoke of Job. A just man. Righteous, perfect in his generation. Eschewing evil and fearing you. Oh God, help us through this week to take something that we've heard today and make application in our lives with it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.